You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Story here from NBC News. By the way, we have Festivus Friday coming away at 5 o'clock, the airing of the grievances, and that is brought to you by Q39. Few things are more entertaining than pettiness in motion. And at least one Missouri lawmaker has chosen to go next level petty when it comes to the eventual relocation of the Chiefs to Kansas. Missouri Senator Nick Schroer has introduced a resolution that would remove the title of the official football team from the Chiefs, giving it instead to the UFL's St. Louis Battlehawks.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Based on recent events, and I'm quoting here from the state senator, it has become clear that the will of the people of the state of Missouri has changed with regard to the designation of the Kansas City Chiefs as the official NFL football team of this state. And the Kansas City Chiefs football organization has indicated that despite years of fan support and financial support from the citizens of this state, the team wants to relocate the team to the state of Missouri. Therefore, he wants the UFLs, which is an indoor football league, the St. Louis Battlehawks to become... Sam, will you check me on that? They might be part of an XFL, USFL. They might be an outdoor team, actually, now that
it's
I think
about it. It's not happening. This is ridiculous.
The XFL.
Yeah, so they're outdoor.
Yeah.
The St. Louis Battlehawks, which is basically your AA, AAA NFL teams. The St. Louis Battlehawks would become the St. Louis Chiefs. And the Kansas City Chiefs, when they moved to Wyandotte County, would become the Kansas City Battlehawks.
No.
I mean, if you put a dome over it, doesn't it become arena football anyway?
All right.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Does it?
I'm still mad. Doesn't this guy have anything better to be getting done for his constituents?
No. Kansas City police posted earlier today, this made me laugh. I know there's nothing funny about armed robbery. But the dude that is in the, like, please help us identify this man photo is wearing a Chiefs jersey and is clearly identifiable. And so I shout out to the sports guys, hey, remind me who's number 54. And that's Leo.
Leo Chanel.
And I wrote to the police department, Leo, the update this hour is he has been identified. It was a strong arm robbery a few days before Thanksgiving. He did so wearing the jersey of number 54. Out at Three Lights, by the way.
Is he the only person that ever wears the jersey 54?
Well, I mean, I just look at this doofus.
It's very obvious who he is. That's like a Quick Trip quality picture.
And it's also like so many people are walking around wearing the Mahomes jersey or the Kelce jersey. And I'm not saying you don't go buy a Leo jersey, but it does narrow it down. There's not millions of Leo jerseys around Kansas City. There are
Leo's
some.
Leo's a great defensive
player. I'm not saying he's not.
Nobody's taking anything away from him.
I see Chris Jones jerseys out there.
Well, but he's a Hall of Famer.
When you commit a strong armed robbery wearing a Leo jersey, I'm just saying it took them about 14 hours to figure out who that guy was.
Maybe, and bear with me here. Bear with me. I know it's crazy, but maybe we don't commit strong armed robbery.
I think that's the best way to go.
And then you don't have to worry about what you're wearing.
You go to Rally House, you pick out whatever jersey you want, and then you don't commit strong armed robbery while wearing it, Sam. I like that.
Or at least wear a mask.
No.
Or just put on a nondescript hoodie. Yeah.
Well, I got it. You could put a wolf mask on.
Oh, yeah. That worked out really well.
Then try to run away on a bicycle through a neighborhood after laundering your money through a casino.
Okay. All right. Tony Dacopil's first week at the CBS Evening News is getting criticism from former Fox News host and NBC anchor Megyn Kelly. Dacopil, who officially debuted as the evening news program's lead anchor on January 5th, is catching flack for on-air flubs on the broadcast, but a recent clip of the journalist crying during a segment is drawing particular ire. Megyn Kelly, the former Fox News star, took to her podcast to criticize the clip, quoting here from Megyn Kelly. We have to talk about the new anchor of CBS Evening News. There is no crying on the evening news. Kelly said there was one exception.
I was going to say, I disagree with that.
When Walter Cronkite shed a tear.
When he announced the death of John F. Kennedy Jr., and certainly during 9/11, there are stories where you will see people stop and try to compose themselves while delivering the news. I mean, we are human.
Well, her opinion
doesn't matter.
I don't think.
Well, hang on. I have something to add to this in just a sec. What? What?
It's okay. I'm just surprised you even brought it up.
Kelly went on to say, I literally could not believe my eyes. And he was talking about, he says, it makes me emotional. He said, getting choked up and wiping away his eyes to help people understand why I have such a reaction. Florida is where I grew up. My grandmother's there. My father, my mother, my aunts, my uncles, cousins. It's where I would have spent all of my childhood. I'm not particularly sure what story he was referring to. However, I'll take a lesson on crying from anyone but Megyn Kelly, and here's why I say that. I recall in early 2017, I had the occasion to host a KMBZ roundtable out in Olathe at the convention center, and I was tasked, because E.J. Becker, for whatever reason, he was supposed to be the interviewer, he couldn't make it. And so they asked me, would you be willing to interview Megyn Kelly on stage in front of 1,000 people? There are few things that I hate worse in this world than speaking in public. I can talk to tens of thousands of people on the radio, but because I can only see the three of you, it never fazes me at all. Doesn't faze me one bit. I'm not even remotely nervous right now.
They didn't even remotely ask me to do it because they knew I would say no.
But if we were to do this show at like Sandstone in front of the actual number of people who are listening right now, I would be a mess. I would be a wreck. So they asked me, I accepted to interview Megyn Kelly in front of 1,000 KMBZ listeners who had paid to get in. And I agreed. And I said, I'll do it. And for whatever reason, I prayed to God before I went up on stage. I was not nervous. It was crazy. And these were, for the most part, softball questions. I mean, she was our guest. But there were a couple of questions where I kind of got into the meat. And Megyn Kelly needed tissues brought up on stage because one of the questions I asked her had her bawling.
I do remember that.
Was it that bad of a question?
It was that good of a question.
Who are you? And by the way, the news anchor in question got emotional because, as you said, all of his memories were there.
In Florida.
They were doing a like spotlight around America kind of thing. He was in Florida, and he said he did not anticipate getting choked up like that. And he was very honest. He said, my dad, we were growing up here. This is home. All of my relatives are here. And then he lost his business and got in some trouble. And he went to jail. And I should have lived out my life in Miami. And because those things happened, my life took a different route. And he said, I'm surprised that I'm emotional about this, but I this feels like home and I miss it.
And he was crying about that
He wiped a tear, Dan.
Okay.
I mean, I remember like
being Mr. Tough Guy in there.
If you had sent me, and I'm not comparing this to like a Katrina, but I remember I should have gone down there when that happened with everything I know about Biloxi. And I happened to be 8 months pregnant at the time or 9 months. You had to have a tetanus shot before they would fly you down to cover the story. And so they sent, I think, Brian Webb instead or Dave Helling went. I absolutely, in seeing something like that, if you don't collect yourself and have a moment, like, I does that not humanize the reporter?
Yes.
Depending.
No, one of the best reporters down there was Shepard Smith.
Remember the movie Broadcast News and where the guy affected a tear so they could get a close-up of it?
Wow.
Playing the role of caring news. Okay.
Dan, right. Broadcast news is nearly 40 years old.
I know. It's a cautionary tale that still plays well.
I don't know how this guy's going to do. I worry that the...
I never heard of him.
The right. Network evening news from 5:30 to 6...
Is dying.
Is dying. Yeah. Right.
By the way, his last name is DeCopel.
And I would much prefer we have the David Muir, as much as I make fun of him for leaning in.
Who?
David Muir.
He's a bit dramatic.
He is so dramatic, and I know elbows. I make fun of him for that, but I do think it is important that we have that, because once that is gone, all we have is this worthless screamotainment that is just crap on cable news.
I'm David Muir.
And you're not.
Flares those elbows every single
time. Yes, he flares them right out.
What is he parenthesizing with those arms? I'm trying to figure it out.
I do not know what he does.
But Dan, I'm going to disagree with you for a minute. I think it's okay when it's legitimate and authentic.
And appropriate.
To get a moment. You know, years ago, the old adage was you never cry on the air. Never cry on the air. I've lost count how many times the two of us have cried on the air for whatever reason.
Well, doing this show?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's different than doing a classic
evening
news
broadcast.
Like when I got back from rehab in the fall of 2023, I told Dana what I had told her countless times when I was in the clink. I said, and I believe this, I'm not going to cry now. I've accepted it. But I told Dana, and I cried the day I said this to her. I said, you saved my life. I was mad at you. I thought you had violated my privacy. You had violated my family. And it was in rehab where I learned, and I think I've told you this 1,000 times, Dana saved my life.
You cried that day.
I did.
And I gave you a hug, and I said, I'm going on vacation. Glad you're back.
With respect, though, apples and oranges. You're not presenting a newscast with facts and information about.
Well, I would like to think we present facts, but
I kind of agree with
Dan
here.
You know what I'm saying?
Shut up,
it's just different.
If you're reading a script, read it beforehand, get the tears out, and read it without crying on the air.
I mean, I can't count how many times I was involved with all kinds of emotional type events that I got to control myself on the air and present the information. That's what I'm here to do.
Well, welcome to the world of having no heart and no feelings, Dan.
Well, it's different for us because we speak through emotion a lot of the time.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dan and Parks. Story here from Channel 9, Matt Fleener.
I love me a good open records request.
And we'll get with Matt here in just a moment. You may have to wait more than 3 years to learn the inner workings of a multi-billion dollar stadium deal between local and state leaders and the Kansas City Chiefs. An attorney for the unified government of Wyandotte County is denying a request from KMBC 9 for any emails between city and county leaders and Chiefs employees discussing the stadium deal. The county's denial hinges on a 2024 state law to lure the Chiefs and the Royals to Kansas using star bonds that said associated documentation about any stadium deal could be confidential until July 1st, 2029. Joining us on the KBZ hotline is Matt Fleener from Channel 9. Matt, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon. I love me a good open records request, too.
I was just going to say, I'm very, very familiar with how those work. That is public money. Those are public agencies that we are talking about, despite the fact that the Chiefs was on a receiving or sending end of that email. That is a public record. I did not know that you could put some sort of parameter on an open records request unless, and police do this all the time, they can cite ongoing investigation privilege. And in that case, they can deny your request, or employment closed meeting is another one. I see no legal way they can deny this request.
This one surprised me. And it, again, it hinges on that 2024 law that was passed during special session. It was the package basically to lure the Chiefs and the Royals. And in that law, there was this section that talked about some terms of this, any sort of a deal being confidential, the associated documentation, as you mentioned, Scott, being confidential until July 1st of 2029. We learned about that when Wyandotte County denied our request to see any sort of emails back and forth between the chiefs and any leaders within Wyandotte County. And they used the term associated documentation to deny our request until 2029. So in essence, it's going to take 3 years if this interpretation holds up. It's going to take 3 years to learn any sort of, any sort of behind the scenes inner workings that are going on there, at least through email between leaders in Wyandotte County and the chiefs. Now, we just requested folks with the chiefs. There could be others that are involved in this, Commerce Secretary, others that are involved. We just narrowly, kept our request to the chiefs, but certainly others could be involved in these discussions, and we certainly have the option to make that request for others into the future.
But Matt, when they're telling you that they're going to hold these records until 2029, 3 years from now.
This isn't the JFK assassination files.
Doesn't this raise the question as to what are you hiding?
I think it does. I think it raises big questions. The law does say if and when a deal is signed, if that deal is eventually signed, there's ink on paper, that deal becomes public. But there's still this associated documentation that can be withheld for 3 years. And, to be honest, I didn't look closely at that bill that was signed in special session, say, oh, yeah, there's this clause that's in there that could, keep the deal confidential or parts of the deal confidential until 3 years.
But Matt. All of that being said, just sure. Because they passed that language in that bill doesn't make it legal.
Bingo.
This isn't legal. Call Bernie Rhodes. I've already texted him. You guys need to fight. I mean this. Call Bernie and fight it. Go to court and they will be compelled to release those documents. This is taxpayer money, right? Yep. City and county governments. Now take the chiefs out of it. Anything that comes back and forth in email between those government agencies generally is not protected.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely looking at a lot of different options and trying to think through some of the ways to get at more information, not just through emails, but other sources and that kind of thing too. So ultimately, what we tried to do here is shine a light on what's going on here, shine a light on these discussions. People haven't known about what's going on behind the scenes throughout this entire process. And I think what we're starting to do is pick away at that. We're starting to figure out, oh, this person talked to this person at this date. And I really believe that open records requests, they're put into law to be able to
for a reason.
Shine light on issues just like this. And so, yeah, for sure. I mean, we're looking at some options and trying to figure out our next steps here. And I think that ultimately it's for the public. It's for public view. It's to help shine light on this issue.
There was a story yesterday. I don't remember which news station reported it, that Wyandotte County Unified Government has not yet signed off on this deal, and they would have to for it to go through. And there have been, and I'm sure you've heard these, Matt, whispers behind the scenes about whether or not the finances are really in place. Is there a concern that this deal, this move from Missouri to Kansas for the Chiefs, may actually fall through?
I haven't heard the words fall through yet, but I think I'm hearing a lot of people with some big, big questions on if it's just the Star Bond package that's enough, or if it's going to be sales taxes from Olathe and from Wyandotte County KCK that will be needed to kick in and actually sustain this deal. Of course, we've seen the big map of half of Johnson County, Wyandotte County as well, that they need that big area to capture all of the sales taxes. But can it really be sustained without the help of local sales taxes and additional kick-in from Olathe and KCK? I hear a lot of questions about that. I don't know that we have the answers. Maybe some of those emails could provide the answers, but again, we're being blocked from those right now.
And don't forget Shawnee. Shawnee is included in the sales tax map.
Yeah, Shawnee, you've got Bonner Springs, you have parts of Edwardsville, you have Lenexa as well. And so, it's a wide swath of folks that would have to pay for this.
And Matt, also, just in this is just kind of a silly little side note. I had dinner with a bunch of good friends, and one of them last night is a 25-year season ticket holder, and she said, "What does this mean for the fans? Do we get to keep our seats? Is it going to be tens of thousands of dollars more?" Like she said, you know, we're also in the dark, and I think everyone is wanting more information, and the more transparent they can be, or the more that the news outlets like yourself can force them to be transparent, I think the better for everybody.
I think that's really important, and it's why we do our jobs, is we want to get answers, we want to hold people accountable, and make sure that, you know, the work of public officials happens in public. I get that, you know, real estate deals, there's sections in the open records law that keep things confidential, and for good reason. You don't want a group tech negotiating a deal this big, as an economist told us yesterday. But certain conversations ultimately, we believe, need to be in the public, and hopefully sooner than 3 years from now for this deal.
Matt Fleener with Channel 9. Always appreciate your time. Thank you for it, my friend.
You bet. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, be well. That's Matt Fleener from Channel 9. You can see his story tonight on Channel 9 KMBC. So let's stay with this for just a little bit longer. Matt Fleener over at Channel 9 has requested correspondence between members of the Unified Government of Wyandotte County and the Chiefs organization. He's done it under a Sunshine request and has been told that he will not get those emails, those correspondence, for at least another 3 years. No. What are you trying to hide, Kansas?
Just not how that works, and their lawyers know that. So what they're going to do is try to block all of the media from getting that information. The media is going to take them to court.
I hope so.
And the media will win hands down all day long. There is no privilege with public money in a public project using millions or billions of tax dollars to pay for it. That's exactly what these laws are for, to prevent the government from saying, well, we're going to go spend $1 billion on this, and we're not going to tell you anything about it or why.
But hasn't their argument been from day one that since it's a star bond, it is not public money?
Well, but that's
there is a dollar of public money to be had within
bingo.
I think it's an aggressive
project,
misnomer to say that's
dollar,
not public money.
Then, Sam, they have to hand that stuff over.
And Sam, you've got to remember, there was a map that came out last week that showed the sales tax district that they're creating, that, and I don't know what the sales tax is going to be, and how you create a sales tax district without putting it to a public vote. Mm-hmm. There's something else, by the way, because I live in Western Shawnee, as I've been more than clear about. We are included in the sales tax district that would be used to fund a portion of that stadium build. Now, how much is that sales tax? I don't know. Nobody said. When is it going on the ballot? Is it going on the ballot? It has to.
Well, no, it's not. That's the whole... That is what makes all of this with the star bond proposal so convoluted to me. Because they're saying up front, well, it's a star bond. We're going to be selling bonds to billionaire investors. It's not taxpayer money. But how do you repay those bonds?
With the sales tax.
Taxpayer money.
Right. But you can't levy a sales tax on the people without the people agreeing to the sales tax.
Well, they're gonna.
Did you also see today, and one of our listeners warned us about this, that just because you have a star bond in place does not mean things are all hunky-dory. I believe it is one of the, is that Corbin Park projects or Prairie Fire? I get the two of them confused. Down on 135th Street in Leawood / mm-hmm. Overland Park, mm-hmm. where one of those star bonds, the tenant is in default and is in trouble for non-payment.
Yeah.
And so you can say, well,
I don't think it's Prairie Fire.
We're going to move this over here. I think it's that museum. We're going to move this over here. It's not really tax dollar money. Well, in the end, isn't it all tax dollar
of
money?
Of course it is.
Well, isn't Pinstripes leaving?
Yeah. I read yesterday a new bowling alley.
That was the major anchor that was supposed to pay back that bond.
That and the movie theater, yes.
Yeah.
Is Rockin' Brews, I'm going to be honest, I rarely get down to 135th. Is Rockin' Brews, the KISS restaurant, still there?
I got to be honest, other than that chicken and pickle, I don't think I've ever been
anywhere near Prairie Fire is in default on CID-backed bonds, period. I knew I saw that yesterday. From the Kansas City Star, substantial degree of risk, Johnson County development bonds in default again. Financing tied to sales tax revenue at Prairie Fire, the largest mixed-use development in Overland Park, is once again in default 2 years after similar star bond struggles in the area. The area at 135th and Knoll, anchored by the Natural History Museum, has all of those restaurants and shops over there. Multiple financing structures were used to support its creation, including sales tax-backed star bonds and community improvement bonds.
I don't think it's nearly as cut and dry as we're being told that it
is. No, I don't either. And I wonder, and I've heard a lot of whispers from people who are in the know that, you know, and to paraphrase Matt, not necessarily that the idea of the Chiefs moving to the state of Kansas is in jeopardy. But there are a lot of questions about how are we really going to pay for this massive, potentially $3 to $4 billion stadium complex. And it's more than a stadium. It's the infrastructure that goes up around it, et cetera, et cetera. Where is all that money going to come
from? How did Kansas City, Missouri pay for it? How did Jackson County pay for it? Way back in the day.
It was built 50 years ago.
You don't think they said the same thing? Oh my gosh, this is insane. How are we going to pay for this? I've been saying all along, I can't imagine they would have lined all of this up and not had the money to do it.
$1.7 billion in bonds is not easy to sell.
There are a lot of whispers, Dana, that the money may not be there.
Keep in mind, it's not there for the American Royal.
That is true.
The only thing that's been going on at the new American Royal site for the last, 8 months now?
Is nothing.
Is security standing at the front gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The $65 million in star bonds for Prairie Fire, in which they are now in default, is now dwarfed by the nearly $2.8 billion the state of Kansas is now contemplating for the proposed new stadium.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Speedway is also on pace to default.
Whoa, where have you heard that?
Their bonds are coming up in the next couple of years, and they're not on pace to pay them off.
Hang on, let me look that up. Prairie Fire defaults, that's in the Business Journal. I'll have to look that up.
You can't find any hard numbers on it? That's part of the Kansas deal with not giving out any information, right? That's exactly what we're talking about here, is they won't tell you anything.
There are media lawyers who will fight this, and they will win. We'll know. It's not going to be today. It's not going to be tomorrow, but we'll know.
It's not going to be 3 years from now, either.
No, it's not going to be 3 years from now.
By the way, if you're looking for a reason tonight to watch the Indiana-Oregon game, I have one for you.
Oh, I love this.
There is a wide receiver for the Oregon Ducks. He's a starter, I believe. He's a senior. So I was thinking about cheering for Indiana tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going with Oregon.
Okay.
And here's why. Number four, senior, wide receiver, Malik Benson.
Okay.
Lansing, Kansas.
No way.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Malik Benson went to Lansing, Kansas. Let's just say we sport the same letter jacket. That's right. He's probably got a couple more medals than I did, but
Oregon is the dogs. I'll be rooting for them. But if I had to guess, if I had to make a bet.
Oh, it's Indiana all the way.
I'm not giving betting advice.
This Indiana team is so good.
Indiana all the way.
What do you mean you're not going to give any betting advice? You do it every time you do one of those commercials.
Well, this is not
advice.
Commercial.
It's what I would do if I were gambling.
Yeah, we don't give betting advice. We don't give financial advice. No. We don't give medical advice.
No. Legal advice? Are you kidding me? No.
I mean, our collective IQ is lower than the temperature outside.
Well, that is true.
At some point, I've got to tell you this story. You're going to die laughing. My mother, you know, Scott, for years you had trouble with squirrels, and then you ended up befriending the squirrels.
I did.
She calls me the other day.
I had a change of heart.
Because she has the exact same bird camera that I have. You know, dirt. And she loves it. I sent it to her for Christmas or her birthday or something. But the squirrels keep eating the food running up the pole, eating the food.
Well, you know you solved that, right?
I know. There's all kinds of things you can buy out there.
Called Vaseline.
She says to me, they've greased the pole. Doesn't work. She says to me,
what do you mean it doesn't work?
I had an idea. I went out and I bought a Slinky. And I go, what? She goes, I got a Slinky. And I took the bird feeder off. I put the Slinky all the way down on the pole, and I affixed it at the top of the bottom. And she said, I just thought there's no way that those squirrels are going to get up there. It is the most ridiculous-looking contraption you have ever seen. She sent me a picture of it, and in one of the photos, there's a squirrel on the bird feeder.
Scott, you want one more reason to root for Oregon?
Yeah, but I got to find the picture again.
Oh, my gosh.
Here, you screwed it up.
Tell me, is there another local guy on there, Sam?
Head coach Dan Lanning.
Where's Dan Lanning from?
Kansas City, Missouri, baby.
No
really?
Mm-hmm. Why didn't we know this earlier? I would have been rooting for them earlier.
Former coach at Park Hill South High School,
no
Richmond
kidding.
High School, and William Jewell College.
I'll be darned.
The Slinky.
Oh, pardon me. He was a coach at Park Hill South. He attended William Jewell.
I shall root for Oregon.
Dang, he is 48-7 as a head coach.
It's pretty good.
Wow.
Pretty
good. All right.
All right. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dan and Parks. So as everybody knows, at Corinth Square, Salty Iguana has closed, which is where the great Mike Murphy used to hold court every afternoon.
Love the Salty Iguana there.
They have a replacement. Casa.
Love it.
A Mexican-inspired restaurant is set to open in the spring of 2026, this year, in the former Salty Iguana space at Corinth Square at 83rd and Mission Road. Designed as a restaurant, bar, and private event space. Casa owners say they will serve Mexican-inspired flavors, rooted in a wellness-forward approach.
I do believe it is the same owners of Billy's Grocers, which there, I believe, are a couple of locations around town. And if they do Casa anything like they do Billy's Grocers, it is going to be fantastic.
Why do you say that? Because they say this is going to be... I've never put health-minded and Mexican food in the same sentence.
So that's kind of Billy's Grocers' thing. You go in there for a quick breakfast, but it's all... the foundation of all of it is health. Like, there's nothing healthy
about Mexican food, Sam. It's like saying Italian food is healthy.
You can eat healthy Mexican food.
Depends on how you make it.
Salsa.
If that's all you eat.
In a cup.
Chips.
Chips are not healthy.
Yeah, they are, if you make them right.
If
you make them in canola oil,
they're not healthy. If you do... like a taco salad with shredded chicken and beans and pico de gallo, you can go to Chipotle and eat healthy.
I think that you're thinking about the dishes and not the ingredients.
Wait, stop, Sam.
Also, Chipotle.
If your order comes with a number, it's not healthy.
The only person who has ever eaten healthy at Chipotle is Dana Wright.
Once,
when she got a burrito bowl, a bowl that was just filled with lettuce and nothing else.
Guacamole?
No, there was no guacamole.
Well, no, that's very healthy.
Totally healthy. Mm-hmm. It's great natural
Avocado's
fat.
Avocado's a superfood.
I know we talk about this from time to time, but Missouri on Channel 4, they have just posted the full list of the 2025 rejected license plates. Speaking of Mexican food. In the state of Missouri, one of the rejected plates was, ready?
No, keep it clean.
Tooted.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Why can't you have tooted?
Well, you can't have cat poo either.
Number two, rejected, fartsy.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Number three, you're right, Sam, cat poo. Don't know what that means, so I'm not going to say it.
The rest of them, be very, very careful.
Why can't you say postal?
Because it implies violence.
Why?
Going postal.
Okay. The top three listed are tooted, fartsy, and cat poo.
Sam, have you never heard the term
What if I play the tuba? I can't have tooted?
Have you never heard the term going postal?
I have, but if I saw a license plate that said postal, I wouldn't think that person wanted to fight me.
So back in the 90s, there was this bizarre trend, and I don't even know how it got started, where people in the Postal Service would open fire. And it became known as going postal.
Got it.
Okay. I mean, years ago.
Yeah, this was 30 years ago. But if, like, you randomly opened fire on totally innocent people, it was called going postal.
Well, now I can see why that one was rejected.
All right, one of these I just don't understand, but I don't want to say it because I'm afraid it's something naughty. One of them is just police spelled backwards. Why is that rejected?
Because in your rearview mirror, that comes across as police.
Yep.
And you really think that I'm driving down the road and I see in my rearview mirror, and I can actually see, which I can't, and in the front plate and think in that Ford Mustang, oh my gosh, someone's trying to pull me over.
If somebody is trying to impersonate the police, that is just one more tool in their toolbox.
All right. Well, that's dumb.
That's why ambulance is backwards on the front of ambulance.
Oh, absolutely. I still don't know why I can't have Tootit or Cat Poo. They're stupid as a license plate, but it's not offensive.
No, it's just, I mean, I think it's funny, but I think other people would say it's immature.
Oh, yeah.
Unnecessary.
Sure.
I got a new one.
What is it?
And it has two meanings, and one of them is not appropriate, but I didn't write that meaning down.
Okay.
When I applied for it, and Kansas granted it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to say what it
is, because it's going to give it away.
Say it in my ear.
Say it in our ear.
Say it in my ear, and I'll tell you if it's okay to say it on the air. Oh, that's totally okay.
I want to know what it is.
It's a reference to a venereal disease.
Okay.
But it's also a reference to the color and make and model of my vehicle.
Blue truck?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to say it. I don't want to go that
blue waffle
below the belt.
Okay.
Sam, you're...
I didn't even know what that was.
You're dancing in a bar we don't go to.
Okay. I'm not going to say it on the air. It's very inappropriate. I drive a Tacoma. It's blue. It's a shortened version of that.
Okay.
And it's referencing something that is a venereal disease.
Did you know that at the time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I would have had no idea.
I would have just been like, blue waffle?
How does the 70-year-old clerk that's helping you there know? Because
I guarantee they have a list.
We had one personalized plate, and you had to write down what it meant, which was very obvious. It was a familial name. And
oh, why would you do that? That's a big no-no.
This was years ago, but I don't know.
They always say never put your own name on your license plate.
Really?
Yes.
You wouldn't put Parksy on yours?
No, because I only allow one person to call me Parksy, and it's Jim Rose. Nobody else calls me Parksy.
All right.
If I were ever to get like a vanity license plate, I've thought about it. It would be THN LZZY, then Lizzie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Get out, Parksy.
People in traffic would be like, what is that?
The greatest rock and roll band of all time? I don't know. Don't know if we're going to have enough time. Bones and skulls visible in the backseat of a car near an abandoned cemetery in Philadelphia's outskirts led police to a basement filled with body parts, which authorities say were hoarded by a man now accused of stealing 100 sets of human remains.
Why?
Tell me you're insane without telling me you're insane. Here's the suspect. He's 34 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Christ Gerlach.
Okay, I'm looking him up right now.
Jonathan, common spelling. Christ, common spelling. Gerlach, like the former mayor of Overland Park.
Yeah, he looks like a grave robber. Okay. 100% something is not right with that human being.
The elevator does not go to the
top
floor.
No, it does not. Mm-hmm. No, it does not.
They found 100 human skulls, long bones, mummified hands and feet, two decomposing torsos, and other skeletal items in
They're saying
his,
he's a hoarder. He was hoarding them.
He's a body hoarder. That is correct.
That's not a thing. Just you, Jonathan. Party of one.
He would targeted mausoleums and underground vaults at an 1855 cemetery.
Oh, he had them in a storage unit. That's great.
Is this the cousin of Bob Bordello? What the heck?
Ladies, the line forms to the left. He's jailed on $1 million. No lawyer listed.
Oh, God. They also recovered jewelry believed to be linked to the graves. My God.
Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming up in exactly 1 minute. We are 1 hour out from Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances that is brought to you by Q39 Championship Barbecue. Pit to plate, go to Q39KC.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.